So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to this. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I want to talk about some of those things. You see an entire myriad of them being taught here on Pal Talk, teaching Jesus is not God, teaching God hates the Jews, teaching that you have to leave whatever church you're in because it's Babylon, teaching, you know, just like they were telling, you know, well, we got to go to South Carolina and establish a new Christian state. It's not about America, is it? God's not American. God's God. There's not a nation around that isn't evil by nature. You know why that is? Because the nature of man, by nature, is evil. From the day Adam's first foot slipped till now, mankind is evil by nature. All those born of Adam were born of his corrupt nature. Men by nature are corrupt. Nations are made up of people who in the majority are corrupt. It's not anything new. We talked about the other night how this is the process that's been in every nation of the world. Not a single nation hasn't went through this process. It's born, it grows to a certain point, it declines, and is destroyed. This is the nature of all things in creation. Men are born, they grow, they reach a point, a certain point, they start to decline and get old, and they die. What we would consider good people and bad people alike. It happens to everything in nature. Everybody dies because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, all you have to do to see something about a nation is realize it's just a bigger picture of the whole. Man is a microcosm of a nation. Nations are collections of people. They're born, they grow, they decline, and they die. It's happened with every nation since the history of the world. Why do Christians in America think that this is anything different? Because God has blessed us for a time. He blessed a lot of nations for a time. Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. More repentance than you'll ever see in this nation. Is Nineveh still here? No. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Sooner or later, Christians are going to figure out that this world, the way it is not the place things work out. Look at all these standards we have of what's right and what's wrong. Standards. We know that abortion is wrong. We know that murder is wrong. We know that sex outside of marriage is wrong. We know adultery is wrong. All of these things are sin and wrong. But it's not just the world doing it. It's those who call themselves Christians. The things that are named in the Christian church are just like the world. It echoes exactly the way the world looks. Why is that? Those who call themselves Christian would be involved with adultery and fornication and idolatry and murder and all the other things. Seen a pastor on trial for murder just the other day. Because this is not the place where things work out. You cannot fulfill righteousness yourself. Jesus died to fulfill all righteousness in you. And it will be fulfilled, not in this world, but the world to come. It's a fact. The things of the temporary in creation, flesh and blood, do not last forever. That is their nature. The things of the eternal last forever. That's the place where things work out. That's the place where these standards will be upheld. In that eternity, there'll be no murder, adultery, fornication. We have these standards given to us to show us how far we fall short. This is why the law was given. Not that God ever expected anybody to keep the law. He expected them to try, didn't he? Why did God give us a law we couldn't keep? Why did God give us a law we couldn't keep? To show us the nature of sin. You see, the sin nature is just like the other nature. It's invisible. You can't see it. You can't see a person's spirit. Can you? How do you see a sin nature? You see it by what that nature does. Don't you? You see it through its actions. The law labeled the actions that the sin nature produces as transgressions of the law, sin. And says the man who does these things will die. But let's make a point here. Even before the law was given, as it tells us, and let me read it to you, in Romans chapter 5, listen to this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men. All men. Before the law was given, guess what? All men were already dying. Because all have sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. What does that mean? Basically, that sin could not be seen. Your sin nature. See, it's always been produced by the nature, and it can't be seen without the law. The law shows you what's right. It sets the standards. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. So you try to do right, and you fail. You try to do right, and you fail. What does this tell you? The law says don't covet. For the first time in your life, because the law says don't covet, it must be right. It's God's law. So I won't covet anymore. Didn't even know what coveting was till the law came. But the law says thou shalt not covet your maid, servant's ass, and all this other stuff. So I'm not going to want what my neighbor has. I'm not going to covet it. I'm not going to covet a woman. I'm not going to covet another man. I'm not going to covet this. And you try not to covet for the first time, and guess what happens? Your nature, in spite of what you want, covets. You see somebody's shiny new car. Oh, I wish I had that. Ooh, I just coveted. You see somebody's big house in their bank account and say, ooh, I wish I had that. Ooh, I just coveted. You see somebody's wife and you go, ooh, I wish I had her. Ooh, I just coveted. And you found out something through the law. You couldn't stop coveting. In spite of the fact that the law tells you it's wrong to covet, you couldn't stop coveting. Now you know what coveting is. And you know it's a sin. But you can't stop it. But something else the law provided. Sacrifices. Sacrifices. This was to demonstrate that God would justify you. Only innocent blood can cover sin. You can't fix it yourself. God would provide a sacrifice. The law identified Jesus as that sacrifice. That's what the sacrifices of the law were about. In fact, the sacrifices were established before the law. The principle that only innocent blood could cover sin was established before the law was established about what was right and wrong. Because this was God's intention from the beginning. That man would be justified through Christ. Man couldn't justify himself. He couldn't make himself right. Now, my point in telling you all this stuff, when you see how the law works, you start to see that flesh and blood can't fulfill it and can't fulfill right and wrong. So any system or any teaching that teaches you you can have a righteousness of yourself in the flesh is a lie. And if it's a lie for the individual, it's a lie for the nations. Nations cannot establish righteousness of themselves because they are a collection of sinful men who by nature are sinful. They are flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, and therefore you cannot produce a righteousness in a person or a nation or this world. The righteousness that Christ produced, how did he produce it? It wasn't just through his death, but also through his resurrection, making that creation not temporary and corrupted anymore, changing its nature into that of the Spirit, of that of the eternal. And not only must your spirit be cleansed to be that eternal, but your body must be redeemed as well and made eternal. And that puts the focus on the resurrection of the dead, the translation from this realm of the place where things don't work out to the place where things do eternally. The place where you can't stop sin to the place where Jesus has forever cut sin off. You must be translated not out of the image of Adam and into the image of Christ. And that applies not only to you, but the nations. So tell me now. Tell me now that you're voting or you're establishing a new nation is going to stop sin and bring back righteousness. It ain't. Tell me now that there's hope in any particular nation to be God's nation. There ain't. And there never was. So when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, getting back to the text, I went to Romans 5 and lost my place. The Spirit clearly says, in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. It is a thing that's taught by demon, a delusion, that you can make this world better. That you can make it Christian. It's a delusion and a lie from the devil. The people who are trying to do that have gathered together in their own strength to try to produce something of the flesh to appear righteous. It's called self-justification. But everything in the world should have already demonstrated to us that we can't do that. We're in this for the eternity. It tells us in Philippians 3 that we're citizens of heaven and we await a Savior from there. It tells us in the Scriptures that we're not to be involved in civilian pursuits. We're soldiers in Christ's army. We're ambassadors of Christ to this world. We're not of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would indeed fight. But you're not of this world if you've been adopted into Christ through faith. And faith is God works through you to produce righteousness, not you. And that righteousness will not have its full till when? The resurrection of the dead. Galatians 5:5. We long for the righteousness produced by faith. We don't have it yet. We stand right now in the righteousness of Christ, who has been judged righteous. You've yet to be judged. But if you're in Christ, you'll pass from that judgment. And being in Christ is not just your spirit and faith, but it will also be the resurrection of the dead, won't it? So hear this point. The Spirit clearly says, in the later times, and that's where we're at, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. And if you're trying in your own strength, or to join with a group of people in that strength, to produce a nation of righteousness, you're under a deceiving spirit. And it doesn't just apply to that, it applies to all of these things that are taught against the gospel. We stand by faith. It's God working through us. We proclaim it is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. You cannot produce a righteousness, either in an individual or a nation. The things of the flesh and the things of this world are passing away. Can you accept that? That they are passing away? We have a multitude of scriptures that tell you this. The world in its present form is passing away. The world is being held for against that day of judgment for destruction by fire. And if the world is held that, then every nation is too, and every man is, apart from Christ. That is the nature of things. That which is seen is temporary. That which is not seen is eternal. Where is your faith? Is it in what you see? That's not faith. It's in what's unseen. And no man has seen God at any time. You see the point? God is spirit, as Jesus said, and seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. That's why it requires faith. Faith. The Spirit clearly says in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Anything, or anyone, or any organization that points you back to this world and there being hope in this world is a deceiving spirit and trying to cheat you out of an eternity. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. Those are all physical things, aren't they? Certain foods, whether or not you get married. They're trying to produce a righteousness of the flesh, aren't they? They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God believed, by the way, by faith, those who believe, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. See, unclean food is of the law, and that's a human teaching. Because the people under it are in the image of Adam. The people who are under the law are under a curse. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The only way to pass out from under the law's judgment is to die. Well, Jesus died to pay for you. So that you can be translated into His kingdom through death. The righteous requirements of the law must be fully met in you, that is, in your body. Everybody's going to die. Our hope is that we will be changed through the resurrection of the dead. The only path to life is through death. So why are we trying to hold on to this world in its present form? Why are we trying to hold on to nations and political things? Why are we trying to hold on to the things of this world? Ideals that are not based upon godliness, but rather the appearance of godliness. The things of the law have the appearance of righteousness, but they are of no value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, what's in your heart. You can look righteous on the outside, but your heart can be far away from God, as it was with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were worried about Jesus destroying their little kingdom in the flesh, and Jesus didn't come for their little kingdom in the flesh. He came to establish His Father's kingdom of the Spirit. Pilate and Caesar were worried about Jesus being the king of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Have your kingdom. Nothing's changed. The kingdom of Jesus is still not of this world. It's of the next. And Jesus is bringing that next world with him in power and glory at his second coming. And that's what we stand in faith for, that we may be translated into that, and that we can take others with us into that. Let me say it one more time. Any organization, man, doctrine, teaching that focus you back on the things of this world is a lie of the devil and the teaching of demons, because they want you to perish with this world. When we look at the facts of our salvation, most people who are Christians, who have been taught in a lot of churches, don't even know what a soul is. You know, they teach things, oh, well, the soul is the heart of your mind, will, and emotions. Spirit and the soul are a lot alike, and blah, blah. No. Look in Genesis. Hear it very clearly. God created man from the dust of the ground. That was first, the physical part. And then breathed into him the spirit of life. That was second, the spiritual part. And man became a living soul. Notice this dichotomy. Body and spirit coming together as one. The soul is the joining of those two together as one. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You are a soul. Adam became a living soul. That's the body and spirit in union. The soul is the marriage of your body and spirit together as one. How can two walk together unless they agree? Well, right now, their body and spirit, for many, are walking in the agreement of sin and the corrupt nature. What has to be done? That soul has to be destroyed. It has to be broken. Jesus, by dying on the cross and submitting his body for our sin, releases your spirit from having to obey that body and its lusts, so that your spirit can belong to God now through faith. See, those who die apart from Christ, when the body dies, the spirit goes with it and therefore has to go to hell. Hell isn't the punishment for sin. Even before the law was given, those who died, their spirits went to hell. Before Jesus actually came and died and rose again, everyone's spirit went to hell. Now, those who died in faith went to a better part of hell called Abraham's bosom, paradise. But no one could go into heaven until Jesus actually paid their price. Even though they died in faith, looking forward to that price that would be paid through the sacrifices, they couldn't actually enter in until Jesus actually came. They went to Abraham's bosom. Because when you die outside of Christ, then you die in the image of Adam, spirit and body together as one. Where the body goes, because the spirit's in union with it, in agreement with it as a soul, where the body goes, the spirit has to go too. The body goes in the ground, the spirit goes into hell, which is a spiritual understanding of that grave. The spirit goes into what's called the prison of spirits, hell. See, hell isn't the punishment. That's where they go to wait for judgment. It tells us in Romans 2, whether Jew or Gentile, those who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. They're still going to die. And the same thing happens to them. But those who sin according to the law will be judged by the law. Go to the same place, hell. What Jesus' death does is free our spirits from having to be in agreement with that body, as Adam was in agreement with Eve. Remember, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall cleave together to become one flesh. The two becoming one, just like body and spirit. The marriage is the soul. And because Adam chose to agree with Eve instead of God, he had to go where she went in her sin. What Jesus' death does is free us from that agreement, so our spirit can be in union with Christ instead of that body of death. So that when the body dies, our spirit is free to belong to Christ and go to heaven. And when the body dies, guess what? Sin dies with it. That nature of Adam dies, so now the body can be redeemed clean from death. The righteous requirements of the law will be fully met in your flesh. You must die. But right now, through faith, those of us who are in Christ, our spirits are freed, and our bodies will be through the resurrection of the dead, each in its turn. So the idea always was to be translated into Christ, wasn't it? Body and spirit. Then you can be a soul united in the image of Christ and not Adam. Well, those people who want to focus you back here to earth, they want to focus you, and God does heal us physically, but that's what they want to focus you on. They'll tell you the true healing is this body being healed now. They want to focus you on money, paying your bills, getting out of debt. They want to focus you on making this America a better place to live. See, that's all focusing you in the flesh, isn't it? It's about having your happiness now. Promising you, if you become a Christian, your life just becomes rosy. And if you follow certain principles, you'll be rich and happy and healthy. And it's not true. It's not true. Jesus didn't die for you to have money here. He didn't die for your body to be healthy here. He didn't die for your happiness here. He didn't die so you could have the white house and the picket fence and the place where your children never die before you do and where you don't get cancer. That's not what He died for. He didn't die for here. He died for there. He died so you could be healed eternally. And all these other healings are just examples of the one He promised. Healing, bodily healing now is not in the atonement. Bodily healing forever is through the resurrection of the dead. Riches in heaven is your promise, not riches here. This is not the place where things work out. Whether you're a Christian or whether or not you're a sinner, the ways of the flesh all in the same for both of us. This is what it means that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what the meaning is there? Look at it. Those who are under heaven, not in it. Those who are contained in the earth, not in heaven. For those who are under the heavens, the rain falls on them. It's the same thing as those who are under the curse of the law. Those who are bound within the finiteness of creation. The rain falls on both of you, whether righteous or unrighteous. It was true with even Jesus as a man. As your sin brings you death, sinful men kill Jesus. Because flesh and blood, the way it is, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Sin kills all flesh. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. You cannot take the flesh the way it is into heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit it. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. For those who are under the sun. But we are born now from above, not under, through faith. And it will be seen what we are actually through the resurrection when we come out of all of it, when the body does too. But right now your body is under it. And its life is the one we repudiate in exchange for forever. We live these lives sacrificially. They're not ours. It's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. We live as Christ did, as a man to serve God. If you didn't see Jesus building him a big house, marrying and having a bunch of kids, building him a life here with the picket fence and the white house and the vineyard and the fig trees, he lived as a stranger and an alien in this world because he wasn't of it. He came from heaven and he went back to heaven. And now that you're born of him, you're born from above. You're not of this world. And it's a lie and a deception and a teaching of the devil to say you are. It's an attempt to get you to settle for the things of the flesh. But why isn't it apparent to you that this is the place where things do not work out? Whether you're Christian or a sinner, you get cancer. Whether you're a Christian or a sinner, you can go broke. Whether a Christian or a sinner, your children die before you do sometimes. Whether you're a Christian or a sinner, you're not always happy. This is not the world where things work out. Whether you're a Christian or a sinner, there is divorce, there is homosexuality, and there's all these other things that we all have to deal with. The difference between the Christian and the sinner is we have a hope for something better. And we have the power of that something better now through faith to put away sin. We have the power of that resurrection now to put away sin and no longer live in it. To walk in fellowship with God. That's the difference between the Christian and the sinner. But this is the truth of our gospel. There isn't another one. And it is a deception of demons that focuses you back on this world and this life. Your life is the one coming. You're seated in the heavenly realms with Jesus. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not in Adam, in Christ. With every spiritual blessing, not every carnal blessing. You live according to your faith and the hope of the resurrection that's built in you. Not according to what you have now, because what you have now passes away. It's a different gospel than the one they're trying to pawn on you. Hear it. Hear it. In Jesus' name, hear it. Enter into that communion and come to know God according to the Spirit and eternity. No longer according to the flesh and its death. In Jesus' name. That's a good place to stop.